Okay, so this week's shiur is entirely different. And so like I think we mentioned in the past, Ora Chaim is the type of commentator, really everything in it. There's lots and lots of different styles all contained within his commentary. So last week was very much halachic, a piece of the Rambam, and then asked a question on it, and then asked how that fits into the pasuk, and basically explained to us a different meaning based on a halacha. This week is actually Kabbalistic, which means what he's going to do is he's going to explain the pasuk on the sort of level which you normally call drush or so. There's four different levels: pshat, which means a simple explanation; remez, which means where the things which are hinted at it, which is sort of on a deeper, maybe sort of more drush, which is expounding it to talk about other things which you wouldn't have said are the simple meaning; and then sod, which is the maybe deepest mystical means of the pasuk. So this is maybe remez or sod, but it's definitely slightly kabbalistic. And I think it's sort of interesting to see, to open up again our minds to kind of a different level that we wouldn't have thought about by ourselves. So the pasuk that we're talking about, you can see at the top of the sheet, v'chiyomach achicha imach, if your kinsman, basically your brother, right? It says if your brother becomes poor, v'nimkar loch, and he is sold to you, lo sa'avod bo avodas oved, then not treat him like a slave. Rashi says that this is talking about a Jewish person who's been sold either because he's stolen and he can't pay back, or just simply doesn't have any money and he's had to sell himself and make some money, basically. So he's been sold as a slave. And the first thing the pasuk tells us is you're not allowed to treat him badly. So Rashi explains that you're not allowed to do things like ask him to take your clothes to the bathhouse with you. You can't ask him to put your shoes on. You can't ask him to do anything which is gonna make him feel, you know, like he's a nothing, you know, like he's a nobody, you know. So therefore, that's the first thing the pasuk tells us. Hi, David, welcome.
Thank you.
Lovely to have you. Do you have the sheets?
I haven't, but don't worry, I'll listen and follow.
Okay, so we're talking about this Eved then. The first thing the pasuk tells us is don't treat him like a slave in a sort of derogatory way. The Sochi Katosh of Yemach, he should remain with you as a hired laborer, ad shnas hayovel, until the yovel Yemach should work with you. Now the yovel year is the 50th year. Normally a slave would go free in the 6th year. So we're talking about if the yovel came before the 6th year, then Rashi explains then he would go free in the yovel. So the simple explanation of these psukim that we're dealing with, which are, if you want to look them up later, John 25, Sukim Lama Testament, 39 to 14. The simple explanation of these psukim are just discussing slave, you have to treat him nicely, and then he should go out at the yovel. Very simple. Now, the Ora Chaim reads into this an almost Kabbalistic explanation of what it's talking about, which kind of introduces a concept about Golus. And the Ora Chaim sees these psukim as hinting to the Jewish people in God, Jewish people in exile. So although this is definitely not the simple meaning of the pasuk, and the Ora Chaim says it's, you know, he doesn't claim it to be the simple meaning, nevertheless, he says it's also teaching us an idea as if we are the slave, as if we are the people who are being sold when we go into Golus. That's kind of the what's being hinted at a deeper level in the pasuk. So let's read that inside, the Ora Chaim. It says, Parasha Zu, says the Ora Chaim, this parasha, this hints to what our rabbis told us in the Zohar. Ki Hashem tziva nesar edom shelo yisnayin b'achos im Yisrael, that Hashem commanded the sar, the minister of Edom. So Edom is Rome, that's the Golus that we're in at the moment, the Ekron. And Hashem, as it were, commanded them not to treat us cruelly. And that's what it says, when your brother becomes impoverished. Esav, which is the ancestor of Rome, is still our brother. Meaning, as it were, Hashem, the Pasuk is telling us that Hashem makes sure, however badly we're treated, that we're not, it's not, you know, we're not treated absolutely awfully. And the fact is that the reason we are in Golus is our lowliness, our poverty, is because we've become close to him, is because we've become similar to Edom. Now, let's go down paragraph. I want to go down to the next paragraph. And here, the Arachaim says something which is truly fundamental. So he's introduced that when he says being sold to your brother is really talking going into exile, and the brother here, so to speak, is our brother Esav, Yaakov's brother Esav. And then he says the following thing. This is the second paragraph on your sheet. The Omer ad Shnas Hayovel, because the Pasuk said, when do you work? Until the Shnas Hayovel, till the Yovel year, till the Jubilee year. Now, what the Jubilee year is, that all the slaves go free, but also, says the Arachaim, this is hinting to the Geula. It means until the time of the Geula, the redemption. Vulha Geula. This is the time of the Geula. Kayodua, as it says, as it's known, Yahweh Nemochi should work with you. Hashem is telling us, that at the end of the, in the end, we will leave from within, from him. We'll leave the exile. As it says, he'll leave from you, who Ubanov, him and his children, right? The Eved, the servant, goes out together with his children in the Yovel year. What does this mean in the Arachaim's analogy? What are the children when the Jewish people leave exile? What are our children that we leave with? These are the sparks that are clarified whilst we are in exile. Who sowed Hagolus? This is the secret. This is the key principle to understanding Golus, the purpose of exile. These sparks. Now, this is a term which is used in a lot of the commentaries. I don't know if you've heard of it before, that it's Tzotzos HaKadusha, a very Kabbalistic term, that the spark of holiness, and the reason why we are in Golus, the reason why we are in exile, is because we have to reveal, we have to collect these sparks of holiness that can be found in all different parts, amongst all different nations, and wherever we may find ourselves. And when we collect all of those sparks and we bring them back to their spiritual potential that they have, that's when we're ready to go out to leave exile. That's when we're ready for the final redemption. And the Arachaim explains, Shem lo came, not for this concept of these sparks of holiness. Why would Hashem not punish them, us, the Jewish people, by just with afflicting us with blows in our own land? Meaning, why do we have to leave the land? Think about it. Let's say the Jewish people have done lots of things wrong. We've left Hashem, and we've got to learn a lesson. But let's do it in the land of Israel. Why are we all living all over the world? Why do we have to be scattered? Why is it always exile, exile? That's always kind of the result of destruction of the temple. Destruction of the Mesmidish is always exile. He says, why can't we just stay in Eretz Yisrael? Ela echad of the reasons. Is in order that we can clarify the sparks of holiness that can be found in all of the other lands of the world. Every place that the Jewish people found, through their suffering, the mitzvahs and the Torah that we learn and the mitzvahs that we keep in those places, then these sparks of holiness are brought out, are clarified by our actions. This is what the Koheles said. This is the secret of what Koheles is saying. There is a time when one is over another one, lera, for his detriment. Not sure exactly what he sees from that pasuk in Koheles without opening up the Megillah to see that. The idea that the Arachaim is saying is that that's what's being hinted to in the pasuk. When it says that we are going into exile, we're like the slave, sold to his brother, being Esav. We come out together with our children. Who are our children in the analogy? Our children are the things that we bring out together with us, the things that we gained whilst we were in exile that we couldn't have got while we were in the land of Israel. Those are the things that we bring out with us. Those are the kedusha, the sparks of holiness, the nitzotzos, as he calls them, we bring out from our exile. Okay? So far, so good. Make sense? Okay. He carries on. He asks a very interesting question. He says, "V'im tomar," and if you ask, "Im kain," if so, On the second page now, Jewish people would not sin. The Golem, they were not exiled. Mi hayom avarer hamisbarim atabitfusis Israel. Who would have put all of these sparks of exile, sparks of holiness that are scattered throughout the exile? Meaning, from now, he's given such a good purpose being exiled. And he's explained why it's so important. And we didn't stay in the land of Israel because we had to bring all of these things from the other nations of the world. So now he said, so what would have happened if we would have all done right? If we would have just never been exiled, the base of English wouldn't have been destroyed. How would all of this process of these gathering of the holiness in all the other nations, how would it have happened? So he says the following, Dan, no. Kim lo hayu Yisrael chotim, if Yisrael would not have sinned, hayo lehem koyach levarer nitzotzus, b'makom shehem. We would have been able to clarify, to bring out the potential of all of these sparks in the place that we were, Israel. Mikol ha-makom shehem bo'u shom, from all of the other places which we now have to gather them from. Masha enkin acha chetom, but after our sin, the chokom, where our strength is much weaker, v'levai shetasig yodom b'makom atzmai ashesham ha-nitzotzus, and if only strength to now be able to bring out these sparks of holiness in the places that we find them. Meaning, says the Aruch Chaim, and we're going to go into a little bit to understand what this means, but what the Aruch Chaim has said is that if we would have done the right thing, we would have been able to generate the same holiness without having to go to a place where these things are found, without having to be in England and America and Australia and New Zealand and America, and all these different countries. Without that, we would have just been able to accomplish the same thing in the land of Israel. But because we sinned, so therefore we're no longer able to accomplish that by ourselves in the land of Israel, so therefore we've got to go down, if you like, into these places where all of this nitzotzes of Kedusha, where the holiness can be found, and then we've got to gather them and bring them from there, from those places. That's the analogy of the Eved who leaves together with his children, i.e. his offspring. These are our offspring that we've created in the Golas while we're in exile. Okay? Okay, so far so good. Nice explanation of Golas. This explanation, which is a classic Kabbalistic explanation. It comes from the Zohar, like the Aruch Chaim said, but what's interesting, you find this explanation used, and the Aruch Chaim was himself a Kabbalist, you find it used by people, commentaries later, who are definitely not at all, but nevertheless, they bring it down, if you like, to a level which is a bit more logical, a bit more understandable, a bit more rational. So what I brought here is the Michtav Me'Eliyahu. I apologize that there is no English translation because one has not been written yet. We'll go through we'll go through together. Now the Michtav Eliyahu is on Parashas Noso. It's written by Rabbi Dessler, Rabbi Eliyahu Eliezer Dessler, who was the Shiach of the Ponovitch Yeshiva. He was also one of the founders of the Gateshead Yeshiva as well, the Gateshead Kollel and the Gateshead Yeshiva. So he's now definitely not a Kabbalist, definitely very much in the literature yeshiva world, but nevertheless he also brings this concept and he explains it very beautifully. I think he adds understanding to it.
Rabbi, can I just ask?
Yeah.
If I've understood you correctly, is the logical conclusion that we won't see Mashiach until we've gathered in all of this Kedusha from all over the world and brought it back to Israel?
Correct.
That sounds like a bit of a task.
Yeah, 100%. It is a task. That's the purpose of being in exile, and that's what we're supposed to do. And we'll see where Dessler explains very clearly what it is that we have to do. It explains very clearly what it is that we have to do. Now, he says, have a look in the second paragraph here on the first. The Kosfu HaMakubolim, the Kabbalists wrote, Shemi Avodas Yisrael, that the Avoda of the Jewish people, Lahatziles Nitzotzes HaKadusha, Shemagolos B'toch HaTuma, is to save those sparks of holiness which are found in the exile in Golos amongst the tumah, the impurity. We've already explained this before. And now we're going to explain it in greater depth. Nichlal bedvareinu, included in our words, gamasha kosu b'svarim hakadoshim, what they wrote in the mystical works, ki l'kol echad ve'echad b'chem, in each of us, each person, in his portion, in the events that happen in our life, nitzotzitz miyuchodim, we have our own sparks, shetzarech l'go'alom, which we have to redeem. V'hein hein nitzotzim nishmas atzmo, these are the sparks of our own neshama, which have been captured by the forces of Tumah. These things hint to great, lofty, spiritual concepts. But according to our level, let's try and explain a little bit what this means. Everything which is hidden, meaning where you don't see God's presence in the creation, anywhere in the world. We can change that. Any place, any time, which is lacking God's presence, which is lacking awareness of God, we can change that into something which reveals God's glory. By our free will, by our choice. And in every detail of the creation, there is the possibility of making a Kiddush Hashem. And a person, the Adam, can bring out purity from the greatest impurity by making it a vessel through which he serves Hashem. For example, all of the things that we have in this world, all of our possessions, if we use them just for spiritual work and not for more than that, then by doing so, we are revealing God's glory. We're being Hashem. Even the Yetzahara, the purpose of it is only that we should make a Kiddush Hashem. In order that a person will not be seduced, will be overcome by the Yetzer Hara, but rather will go against it, will break our sort of passions and our desires for the wrong thing. So therefore, what he's saying is that those nitzotzes, the spark that each of us are supposed to be working with, and the tachlis, the purpose, really, of us being in Golas and our entire existence, is that those possessions that we have, to change them from being something which is just mundane, physical and nothing, into something which is a gilui kavod yisparach, which reveals Hashem's kavod. So for example, very simple, if you have a house, then the house can be used for things which are wrong, can be a source of, God forbid, can be a source of tumah, or the house can be used for things of Torah, can be used, please God, in better days. It can be used for guests. It can be used for Shabbos meals. It can be used for all sorts of things, bringing up children in the Derech HaTorah, all of these things. So you're taking an inanimate object and you're turning it into something which is now revealing Hashem's glory. So what you've done is you've taken the sources of sparks of holiness from that object. And then he said even more, the Yetzer Hara, which is convincing us to do bad things, that is also only there to bring out Hashem's glory. Because the purpose of the Yetzer Hara is only that we should break that Yetzer Hara. It's only that we should go against that Yetzer Hara. When we do that, again, we're bringing out the nitzotzes of Kedusha. We're bringing out those sparks of Kedusha, which can be found even in the worst possible places, the worst possible things. By the way, it's interesting. He was asked, Rav Dessler was asked, he writes this in one of his Sfarim, about opening a college. Young Jewish boys, that they should study and they should get a degree. And he writes, he was very uncertain about it because he worried that what it would do is that people who would have gone to study Torah, people who would have gone to yeshiva, instead of going to yeshiva, would go to a college in place of going to yeshiva. Good for those boys who've already learned in yeshiva and they're now looking to work, etc. It would be wonderful for them. But how will you make sure, that was his question, how will you make sure that those that would have gone to yeshiva will still go to yeshiva, and instead they'll, instead of going to the Jewish university instead, as he put it. But one of the concepts that he brought in this lesson, when he was talking about the significance of working, of getting a degree, etc., was he said that by doing so, you're bringing out the nitzotzes of Kedusha, this concept. He said one has to be careful. So it doesn't mean that we can do whatever we like because we can get influenced, etc., by the world around us. So one has to be careful. But nevertheless, realize that by going out to work, by going into the big sort of outside world, then what we're actually doing, the purpose of that, and it should be our purpose and what we're mindful of, is that we can have an opportunity for Kiddush Hashem in a place that there's maybe no other Jew can do it. When we meet with people who've never met a Jew, when we go to places as a Jewish person, so we are bringing out those nitzotzas, the sparks of holiness that exist in that place that were up to now just in potential. We can actually turn those into a revelation of Hashem's glory. You can make a Kiddush Hashem as well. He ends off with something which is, I think, very inspiring on a personal level. Have a look at the bottom paragraph there in Rav Dessler. Kol echad ve'echad, for each person, every single person, we each have our unique sparks of holiness that we have to reveal, that we have to redeem. Kol echad, every person has his own portion in Kiddush Hashem. And for this reason, we received our own set of strengths and weaknesses. And according to these things are all of the tests and trials that we have. All of them are tailor-made for what's best for us. The Tochen Ha'adam, who Kiddush Hashem Shebechelkoi, and the main contents, if you like, the tochen, the inside, what's inside a person, is the Kiddush Hashem, which falls to our portion. Zui Nishmaso HaKadusha Mushmalamala, this is his neshama, which Hashem has given us. Havayoso HaPnimis HaRuchnis, this is what's our pnimius, what's inside our spiritual. We have all of the utensils, we have everything we need to make that Kiddush Hashem in our own portion of Kiddush Hashem. And all of these details of Kiddush Hashem, which are hidden with all of the things that we come into contact with, those are what's really our content that we can bring into this world. Those are the holy sparks. Those are the sparks of neshama which are scattered that we have to gather and we have to bring to the forefront of our lives. And with this, we gather together our picture of our neshama. So Rav Dessler says that really, it is not just an avodah, a service which is for the entire Jewish people to do. Part of it, entire Jewish people, that's true. Rav Dessler, by the way, in other places says that this is why all different cultures offer something else, right? There's no question that a Jew living in England behaves differently than a Jew living in South Africa. We have a different culture. We have a different personality. Therefore, we bring different things to the Jew. And a Jew living in America has a different way of life. And the Jew living in Australia, and a Jew living in South America, and et cetera, et cetera. We all have it in Germany and in France. Every single one of those cultures lends itself, in a way, to certain strengths. We might think sometimes that the English people are the best and the others are. But the reality is every culture has its strengths and its weaknesses. So all of that, bringing all of that together, when we have Kibbutz Golios, when we have the final redemption, we're bringing all of those things together. Please God, we'll have a harmony of the best parts of all of those different nations. But in addition to that, which is sort of on a national level, collecting those sparks and coming us out of exile, Rav Dessler is saying on an individual level as well, as we go through our life, we have to realize that Hashem's given us those opportunities for us to make a Kiddush Hashem. And every single opportunity that we have to make a Kiddush Hashem means, if you like, it's another spark of our neshama that has been scattered. And when we collect those sparks, when we bring them in, what we're doing is we're in fact, if you like, unifying or collecting all the pieces of our neshama which was scattered throughout our life until we get to 120 years and we've actually collected all of us, and we have a neshama which is whole, which is full again as it was supposed to be. And each of us has our kochos, we've been given the tools to be able to do that throughout. We have to see all of the tests, trials, and tribulations as an opportunity to be able to do that. And when we do that at an individual level, then we can will add to the national level, really, of doing that, of collecting these nidzotas. Any questions?
Why is it that that can't just all be done in Israel and we all just live in Israel? Why is it that we have to be all over the world to sort of pull those things together?
So, as he said, if we wouldn't have, if the Jewish people were at the level, so, like, for example, the time of King Solomon, Shlomo HaMelech, which was probably the peak of the Jewish people, the non-Jews came from all over and they came to the Beis HaMikdash. They brought korbanos, they donated to the building of the second Beis HaMikdash, etc. And Israel is like kind of the center of the world. So Jewish people are at their peak. Then yes, it is. It can be gathered from there. There's always two ways, right? For example, you know, even in Kirov, which is, if you've got seen, is all about this, always the dilemma. Do you go to them or do you bring them to you? Right? So there are people in all sorts of things. And one way of doing it is you go to wherever they are. You know, the Rabbi Grossman was called the disco rabbi because he used to go to the discos, literally, in Migdal HaEmek. He had this rabbi with a white, you know, he probably didn't have a white beard then, but a rabbi with a beard turned up, you know, tapped you on the shoulder and said, hi, do you want to learn about Judaism, pretty much. So one way of doing it is you go to them. Now, the advantage of that is that you then understand the place, you understand all of it, and you can then, it's easy to sort of bring people up from there. The alternative is you wait till they come to you. Now, for them to come to you, you've got to be good enough that they'll come outside of their comfort zone. So it's, I think, the same type of idea that the Or HaChaim is saying. If we're on a really, really high level, then we're able to just sit there in Israel, to live in the land of Israel, and through our avodah, we'll collect all of those sparks in the totes of Kedusha. They'll come to us, because what we'll be doing is so powerful, everything will just come to us. But when we're not at that level, which is the Jewish people after the Beis HaMikdash, when we're not at that level, you have to go dig in the dirt. You have to be in all the places where these things are to be found, and that's the only way we can kind of gather them up. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I guess that's where the Rebbe sent all his shluchim all around the world, I guess, to try and get them to do that.
Exactly. So that someone's dealing with, you know, that Jew out in New Zealand, he's got someone who's going to help him make Shabbos. Okay. I think we're going to stop there. Unless there are any other questions?
David, we can't hear you. You're on mute.
David, you're on mute. Once again, I'll unmute.
Right. Right. Quick question I want. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Right. Quick question. You talk about these sparks being dispersed all around. Are you actually talking about people that have gone away from Yiddishkeit? Or are you talking about somebody that's born from and was brought up from, keeps all the mitzvahs, puts on tefillin every day and learns? Are you saying he's got sparks that are missing as well? And if so, can you explain?
Okay, good question. The answer is now the Or HaChaim is actually not talking about people at all. That was just my analogy kind of from my field of work. He's talking about objects, opportunities, situations. And the question though that you asked are, you know, is every person also missing certain sparks? Yes, every single one of us, from, not from, you know, or anywhere in between. We've all got something to improve. And what Rav Dessler's talking about is for every person that we, as we go through our lives, have to gather those sparks of Kedusha. If you're asking when, if we invite another person into our home, for example, a person who wouldn't Shabbos, we invite our home, please God, in better times. We invite them into our home and they experience a Shabbos, and through that they become more interested in Shabbos, and of course we've helped them gather those sparks of Kedusha. But we all have that own individual work to do as well.
Sure, and can you just explain then, when you weren't talking about people, what were you talking about with objects?
So for example, every single object can be used for good things or it can be used for bad things.
Right.
So a person gets a new car. So what are we using a new car for? If my new car makes me arrogant, if it makes me show off, or if it makes me belittle people who have less than me, then it's an awful thing. That's the Yetzer Hara. I'm driving around an object that distances me from God. And that's what I've just bought. I spent a lot of money on that, you know, and that distances me from God every time our door. On the other hand, if I buy myself a car and I think to myself, how fortunate I am, thank you, Hashem, it's so nice to have a comfortable ride to work. People lift, so I do chesed with it. I make other people happy, maybe, you know, if it's a nice enough car that it makes other people happy. You know, I drive my kids to school in it. So then I've got an object which brings me closer to Hashem. So I've taken the same object, which has latent, if you like, in his terms, sparks of holiness. I've brought those sparks of holiness out to the forefront. So therefore, right. Every single object can be the same thing. The same thing can be done.
Yep. So in other words, what you're basically saying is you live your life in order to Kiddush Hashem.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Yep.
Thank you.
Pleasure. Haley, did you want to ask something before?
No.
Shabbat, Rabbi, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you all very much.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone.
Good Shabbat.
Take care. Keep well.
You too.